Anybody have a testimony briefly? Mark,
yeah.
Good to have you here. Welcome from
It's great to be here.
Chitna.
I was thinking driving up here. Some of you know me, some of you don't. This is where it all started for me about 27 years ago. I prayed to God. I'd asked him if he was real to reveal himself to me. And I'd asked him to, if there was any truth in the world, to show me truth. And he led me to a couple different churches. This is where my kids went to school. And I just kept being drawn back here. And I was saved through this ministry. I was baptized in that baptistry. And I was thinking of that as I was driving up here today. I thought you might ask me to preach, but no, just go. It's great to be back here. I miss our old friends, brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's nice to see your families growing up and still here being faithful. It's just a real blessing to me. Is that brief enough?
Thank you. Yes, you could have gone longer. That is the same baptistry, but it's been remodeled. And when we started to remodel it, there was a split in the church because there was a pro-Mark group that said Mark was baptized in that baptistry. We can't touch it. Then there was a group that didn't care. So they were in the majority, so we remodeled it. But I didn't know about the prayer that you prayed seeking the Lord before your salvation. The Lord certainly answered that prayer in a great way. John, tell us the wolf story.
No, I'm going to follow up on Mark.
Okay.
Because 24 years ago, I came up here. Pastor Bruce was going to tell me about hunting and fishing, and I love hunting and fishing.
It's called bait and switch. Amen. Good stuff.
John is my claim to fame.
Your claim to fame. Well, that's great, though, how the Lord uses us. You know, somebody trusts Christ and then talks about it a little too much, and somebody else trusts the Lord and gets saved, and on it goes, and it's been going on for thousands of years. Anybody else? I need your help. I didn't study for tonight. I'm just going to go like this. 2 Timothy 3. Open your Bibles to 2 Timothy 3. The power of the Word of God in crazy days. The power of the Word of God in crazy days. I've been continually pointing you folks to God's Word, the Holy Bible, lately because of the days in which we live. Did anybody, first of all, I need to ask, did they have the fair this year? I don't think so, right? Probably because of COVID. But the reason I don't know the answer to that question for sure is because I really don't care. But my son loves the fair, and he loves the fair for one reason. What is that, Maddie? The food, just like everyone else. And probably the smaller kids love the rides, but you get over that. And I do remember the year, the most notable year of the fair for our family and for some in our church was the year that my son, using peer pressure, and he talked his mother into going on the slingshot ride with him, which I could not believe. So I knew then that she loved him because she was willing to die with him and for him. And so they went on the slingshot, and by the time that thing had pulled them all the way to the ground, stretched them all the way to the ground to let go, the cell phone people in those days had texted and everybody had gathered. So the half the church was there and all of our local friends that were at the fair were there. And we got to hear Lena scream all the way up and all the way down and all the way up and all the way down. So that was really but also another feature of the fair are the hairdos. Okay, and thankfully the people with the hairdos are not the ones cooking the food, because I don't know if I could eat the elephant ears if I found a big long purple hair in it. But anyway, it's a crazy time of year. And it's okay. I'm not that really, none of that even bothers me about the fair. It's just, you remember early on during the pandemic, the first message I preached about the pandemic, I listed some of the good things that would come out of this situation, trying to see the, I called it the silver lining in the clouds, that trite saying. I used it in the sermon, and one of the things I said was that now everyone would be a germaphobe, not just me. And I said these words, welcome to the club. Welcome to the club. Well, one of the things that's always bothered me about the fair is the masses of people, not even necessarily about germs, but it just kind of messes with my mind, because you have to think so fast, at least as an adult who cares about how to respond to people, because kids don't care, and that's a great thing about being a kid. But as an adult walking around, you want to be polite. And so when you're talking to somebody over here you haven't seen for 20 years, but somebody over here you haven't seen for 30 years, somebody behind you haven't seen for 5 years, and somebody you just saw yesterday, and it's like boom, 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 and your brain is scrambled by the time you're done, and your food's gotten cold, and it's like, can we go home now? And but other people enjoy it, and if I'm with the people who enjoy it, like children who love the rides, and like the teens who love the food, and myself also, I enjoy it because other people around me are enjoying it. But you have to say this, when the fireworks show goes off, that signifies the end of the fair. And I don't think I've ever been there for the fireworks, but I've seen it from a distance and I'm going, yeah, the fair is over. Okay, finally. It's a long, what, 8 days? Because it is a crazy time. It's a celebratory time. Everybody looks forward to it, but what if life were that way all the time? Well, it seems like it's getting to be that way, minus the food. It seems like the world around us is losing it, and that the more of a freak you are, the more you are exalted and celebrated in our culture, and the more anti law and order, the more anti-authority you are, the more popular you are in certain groups. So it just seems like that right is wrong and wrong is right, and the world has been turned upside down on us, and it's like permanently our culture is the fair without the food. Okay? Things were shaping up that way in Paul's day, and Paul wrote to his spiritual son in the faith. Okay, just like you heard Mark's testimony tonight, and then John pops up and says, Mark played a part in leading me to Christ. So in a sense, Mark is one of John's spiritual fathers. Okay, when you lead someone to Christ, spiritually you give birth to that person, and you're supposed to help them and encourage them in the Lord and disciple them and try and get them in a good church, whether it's overseas or here locally. Try and be an influence in that person's life. Well, Paul played a tremendous role in Timothy's grandmother and mother hearing the gospel, coming to Christ. And even though they led Timothy to Christ, because Paul knew the scriptures from a child, where did he learn those scriptures from as a child? He learned it from his mother and his grandmother. And when Timothy got to be old enough, he accepted Christ as his Savior, but he always looked to Paul like his spiritual dad or even his spiritual grandfather. So this passage that we're looking at briefly tonight, Paul writes to Timothy during the crazy fair days and tells him how to respond to it. How do you and I respond? Whether it's a pandemic, whether it's riots that start in Minneapolis, spread to Portland, Seattle, Chicago, east, west, southwest, and even now, every day that I watch the news, it seems as though I hear about new riots overseas in different countries. Isn't that interesting how that spirit of lawlessness, emphasis on the word spirit, small s, that spirit of lawlessness can pervade the entire world seemingly in 1 week's time. It's very interesting to me. But in days like that, where the world has been turned upside down, what should be our response? Paul says in verse 8 of chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, "Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith." Do you remember that word reprobate from this morning? Okay? It means without light. It means without the ability to come to a critical, logical conclusion. There's no light. There's no reasoning. There's no logic there. And Paul says, in reference to those who were disrupting the gospel in his day and anti-gospel and teaching false doctrine and leading people astray and using their influence the opposite way, as Mark did in John's life, they're using their influence to lead people from God and from the truth. And Paul says, these are men of corrupt minds and they're reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, meaning that when God determines their day is over, their day will be over. For their folly or their foolishness will be manifested unto all men as theirs also was. What he means by that is, just as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses and God judged them and exposed their foolishness and then destroyed them, he says this is also what's going to happen to these reprobate men who oppose the truth and oppose the gospel. Okay? Then Paul turns Timothy's attention to something good. He says, "Timothy, I know there are those around you who are attacking the church, and they're attacking you, and they're persecuting good people, and they're vicious, and they are reprobates. But don't worry, God's going to take care of them. But Timothy, you have Grandpa." And that's what he's saying in verse 10. "You have fully known my doctrine." By the way, how many of us can say this to somebody that we're trying to encourage not to go astray, and we're trying to encourage them not to be fearful, and we're trying to let them know that we care and we're here to support you and we're always going to be here to support you no matter what? That's what Paul's doing with Timothy here. And by the way, the Spirit of God wrote the word of God in the moment for the people of that day. But the Spirit of God also wrote the word of God knowing that you and I would face what we face today. So the Holy Spirit knew that we would need this. And he had Paul record this and write it down. And then the Spirit of God preserved it for now for almost 2,000 years so that you and I could read it and be encouraged and strengthened and guided and convicted and whatever else our need is. The Spirit of God uses his word today just as much as he used it in the heart and mind of Timothy when Timothy read this letter for the first time from his granddad in the faith. He says, "You have fully known my doctrine, the way I live my life. Of course, Timothy traveled with Paul. You know, these guys that go to these hunting camps every year. Watch out. And they live in the same big old wall tent. Barring a church split. They set up a big tent. Not just these guys, but guys are doing this all over the state. Better not start tomorrow. Starting Tuesday. Okay? Hey, you ever spent a week or two hunting with somebody and when you got back you said, never again? You know why? When you live with somebody in the same tent for a week or two, you get to know them pretty good. You get to see their ups. You get to see their downs. You get to see if the downs outnumber the ups. And you get to experience all of their pet peeves, right? And their the wonderful, beautiful nuances of their personality, like facets on a diamond, come out. And you're like, dude, you've got 1,000 personalities. I never knew that. Okay? Timothy and Paul traveled together, stayed together, ran from being beheaded together. They were, you know, that's got to bond you. You know what I mean? If somebody's after you to kill you and you're running side by side and Timothy's saying, come on, grandpa, you got to run faster than that or you're going to lose your head. And they finally get away and they're huffing and puffing and they're, man, that was close, wasn't it? And when you're out of danger, I wonder how many times Paul and Timothy laughed together and said, man, we barely escaped that one. Where should we go next with the gospel, right? So these guys were tight. And for Paul to say to Timothy, you have fully known, he means it. He's like, Timothy, you know me better than anyone else. And you know my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity, my patience. You know the persecutions, because you were there for some of them. The afflictions, you were there beside me, which came unto me at Antioch, Iconium, Lystra. What persecutions I endured. But Timothy, you also know this. Don't you remember that out of them all the Lord delivered me? Otherwise, I wouldn't be writing this right now. That I added. And then he says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But he says, I have some good news for you, Timothy. Things are going to get worse. Verse 13, evil men and seducers, that is deceivers, shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But here's what I want you to do, Timothy. Continue in the things which you have learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. First of all, you learned them from your mama and your grandma and your spiritual granddaddy. And Timothy knows those are three good people. You know, young people, persecution might come in my lifetime, but it's definitely going to come in your lifetime. No doubt about it, 100% sure. Don't know to what severity it will be. Don't know if you will have to flee to another country if you want to stay out of prison or stay alive. Don't know. And you don't have to worry about it because it's in God's hands. But I will tell you this. When days of persecution come in your lives, I hope you look back and I hope you remember the people in this church and in your church who, and your parents, if they are believers, practicing believers, then remember them. And appreciate them and remember that God blessed them and God provided for them and God watched over them and that they're going to be rewarded greatly. I was just sitting here singing that song, He Will Hold Me Fast, thinking about my mom. She never heard that song, but for some reason it just reminded me of my mom because she loved songs like that. And I just remembering mom's influence on my life. And I'm not a person who believes in seances or anything like that. I heard about, I think I told you guys this already, but that one group tried to call up this guy's granddad for like the longest time, hours and hours, and finally he told him, he said, he's not responding because my granddad is not dead yet, okay? And so they wasted all those hours, but that's supposed to be a joke. But anyway, so I don't believe in all that spooky stuff, but sometimes I really feel my mom's presence, like I did a while ago, watching me, but I know what it is. It isn't that my mom's ghost is in this room or anything like that, okay? It's just that my mom had a tremendous influence on my life, and I feel that at times. I remember that at times, and I savor that. And that's exactly what Paul is telling Timothy here. He's saying, Timothy, you remember that from a child you were taught the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And he's not saying there that Timothy wasn't saved yet. He's just referring to the power of God's word to make us wise. Do you remember? I've said now three times, Wednesday night and a couple of times this morning, I pointed out that in the parables of Jesus, the most important factor in the seed bringing forth fruit, if you read the parables and you read the Lord's commentary on the parables, the most important factor in the seed of God's word bringing forth fruit in our hearts is this word, understanding. Understanding the word of God. Understanding the truth of God. And Paul saying to Timothy, the word of God is able to make you wise. That is, to bring you to a place where you understand the word. Because if you can't understand it, you can't believe it. So people need to hear the gospel. How shall they hear without a preacher? What Paul was saying in Romans 10 there when he said, how shall they hear without a preacher? He's saying someone needs to go proclaim the gospel so people can understand it and believe it. And Paul is telling Timothy that from a child you understood the scriptures because of your grandmother and your mother and myself. And don't forget that. And don't forget the caliber of life that they lived and that I am living, Paul says. But he really gives the glory. He's not glorifying family members. He's glorifying the word of God. And now this famous verse that almost all of us in this room could quote, or at least partially quote, is in this context. It's in this setting. And this is where he says, Timothy, evil is going to grow. Deceit is going to become more powerful. The world is going to become more wicked, verse 13. Evil men and seducers will become worse and worse. But I want you to know that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It came from the breath of God. It's God-breathed, and it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God may be perfect or mature, completely furnished with all good works. In other words, in the days of crazy days, in the days when our culture seems like a permanent fair, everybody looks crazy, everybody acts crazy, and everything's upside down, look to the scriptures, the word of God. There is your anchor. There is your shield. There is your sword. Therein is our salvation, the word of God. It's so easy for us to second guess the word of God and to say to ourselves, yeah, but if I preach that, I won't have an audience. Because that is so politically incorrect. Well, that's only going to increase. That contradiction between our culture and the word of God is only going to increase. So we have to make up our minds now. Are we going to faithfully preach and teach God's word? We do so as lovingly as we possibly can. But when you preach and teach the whole counsel of God, you're going to be accused of being unloving, even if you're as loving as you can possibly be. Jesus was. The Lord Jesus, wouldn't you say he's the most loving person that ever walked on the face of the earth? And that didn't keep him off the cross. It won't keep us off the cross either. But after Paul exalts the word of God in the mind of Timothy, then he tells him in verse 1 of chapter 4, I charge you therefore before God in the presence of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm giving you a very serious military, your life depends on it, your head will come off your shoulders if you don't order. That's what it means when he says, I charge you. In the presence of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Okay, so do you understand? And he wanted Timothy to understand, this is really serious here, Timothy. The word of God is the answer in evil days. So Timothy, I'm passing the baton to you. I'm passing on the responsibility to you. I'm placing this burden on your shoulders, and it is a serious charge, and God the Father and God the Son are watching, and God the Holy Spirit is writing the word, so the Trinity's involved, and he says, preach the word, verse 2. And I believe Paul wrote it and meant it forcefully. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, or be ready, in season, out of season. I believe that means when it's popular and when it's not popular, when it's convenient and when it's not convenient, when it's profitable and when it's not profitable. Paul said, I know how to abound and I know how to be abased. Paul preached the word of God whether it was convenient and comfortable or not, whether it was popular or not, whether it was going to get him reward or get his head removed, he didn't care. He preached the word the same everywhere he went. And he said specifically, use the word of God to reprove, to rebuke, and to build up with all long-suffering and doctrine, because the time will come. Now, the time already was upon them. Were not evil men and seducers and deceivers already working against Paul? Yes, but he's saying the day is coming when it's going to get worse, and the hearers will not endure sound doctrine. They're not going to tolerate it. Instead, after their own lust, they will heap to themselves teachers to scratch their ears, tickle their ears, entertain them. And they will turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. That means lead people to Christ or share the gospel with the lost. And prove yourself. Prove your ministry. Prove your calling by the way you live. Now, the reason that Paul laid this charge on Timothy is because Paul was headed for the guillotine. Paul was about to have his head severed from his body. And he says in verse 6, I am now ready to be offered, that is, as a sacrifice, a human sacrifice to God. The time of my departure or my death is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. And I hope and pray that all of us can say that, whether we are killed for the testimony of Jesus, or we die in a car accident, or we die of cancer, or we die of old age like my daddy did. My daddy was, really was nothing seriously wrong with him. He died, the last year or so that he was alive, his blood pressure would drop way down, and then they would talk to him and do the medical stuff, and he would pull out of it. And every time he'd pull out of it. But the first time that happened after my mama died, he said, I ain't coming out of this one. He got a glimpse of glory, and he knew that's where my life's partner is. I'm not no, sir, you're not reviving me this time. And he just quietly exhaled and he was gone. I was hurrying to get there, didn't make it in time. My sister walked into the room. They had called her and said, he's going quickly. She walked into the room just as my dad exhaled and his spirit went to heaven. And when it did, he left here a faithful man. And Paul was able to say, Timothy, I'm giving you this charge. Things are going to get worse, not better. Aren't you so glad? Aren't you so glad Paul didn't head to the guillotine telling Timothy, every day's a Friday, Timothy. Just pump yourself up with cotton candy. It's all going to be great. Theological cotton candy, that'll do it. I told somebody after church today, I told Lane after church today, I said, you know, I bet I could make a lot of money if I wrote a book called Every Day's a Monday, How to Deal with Reality. Instead of telling people all this fake stuff, all this positive stuff, and I'm all for positive, but every day is not a Friday. It wasn't a Friday when my mama died, I don't think. It wasn't a Friday when my daddy died. It's not a Friday when a loved one dies. It's not a Friday when tragedy hits. It's not a Friday when the doctor says you have cancer. I've experienced all of those things. It's not a Friday when you can't even get out of bed. You're so weak. That's not a Friday. That's a Monday. It's a rough day. But you know what? The Lord is faithful. And the Lord told Timothy, out of all those persecutions and all of those sufferings, the Lord delivered me. Timothy, the Lord is faithful. His word is true. Now you be faithful and preach the truth. That's how we handle crazy days, is be faithful and proclaim the truth of God by the way we live and with our own lips as God gives us opportunity. Lord, thank you for your word. Help us to live it. Help us to walk it. Help us to hug it, appreciate it, embrace it. And help us to believe it and obey it. I pray that these young people here who are headed for very, very uncertain, stormy days would become extremely grounded and loyal to and in love with your word. May they pour themselves over it. And may they pour it into themselves. Please help them do that, Holy Spirit. Spirit of God, help us all to live for you and to lift up Jesus. In his precious and holy name we pray together. Amen.